This is our second week talking about spirit, soul, and body, okay? So we started with the scripture last week, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, that says, may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved sound and complete. And that's the three different things I'm going to look at. So I'll do a really brief recap of what we said last week. If you didn't get it, there's so much in it, just click on the website. The sermon's there. It's just audio, but every cloud and all that. You won't be able to see me, but every cloud's got a silver lining. You'll be able to hear me, okay, and hear everybody in the room, and that's on our website. So last week we said that we're made up of three parts. We're essentially a spiritual person, a spiritual being, and we have a soul, and it also lives in our body. We're a three-in-one. It's a three-for-one offer, okay, when God made us. So we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Our body doesn't change much. It's the same before and after we ask Jesus into our heart. You know, if you didn't look like Elle Macpherson before or Arnold, you're not going to look like them after, all right? We'll just look much the same. Our spirit is where God comes to live. That's our born-again part, and it's 100% Holy Spirit, ready for heaven right now because we've asked God into that. And when I think of our spirit, I think of it as being right round about here, in this empty space at your diaphragm, below your heart, where there's nothing really, just an empty space. And the Bible does say rivers of living water will flow out of your belly, and that feels like your belly, where the Holy Spirit will flow. You know, so in here is where I picture the whole God coming and living like in a well on the inside of me. Now that's where God lives when we ask him in. Our soul is a different matter. Our soul is all our emotions, all our thoughts, and our will when we decide to do something about them. So it's everything we think, everything we feel. We talk about our feelings being in our heart and what we decide to do about them. And this is where we get it wrong. It's our feelings will get it wrong. We can be happy one minute and angry the next, you know? So this is where we sin, if you like, in that soul realm. Not in our spirit, but we'll work on our soul until the day we die. We'll work on having the right thoughts towards someone, the right feelings, the right attitude towards someone. But in my spirit, even if I get it wrong, and I shout at the budgie and swear at the cat or whatever, and I get it wrong, God is still in my spirit. He's not left me. So all of that was, we unpacked all of that last week. So if you think, not sure about this, Sandra, just click on it and have a wee listen. Last week we focused on our mind, what all our thoughts, and we said that we actually have the mind of Christ right now, but we need to draw out from where God's put it in our spiritual thoughts. We need to draw out, and we do that by reading the word and speaking in tongues. Okay, if we do that. Today I want to look at our emotions because that's the other main part of our soul. It's our thinking and our feelings, our thoughts and emotions. And emotions sometimes can have an overwhelming effect on us. All right, so there's times to have emotions, and it's healthy to let our feelings show at times. And I'm reminded of this funny story. I hope it's not a true one, but there was a couple and they'd been married for 25 years, and it was the morning of their 25th wedding anniversary. And the wife was a wee bit disgruntled with the husband because he never said anything nice to her anymore. So when he came downstairs, she said to him, "This is our anniversary, and you never tell me that you love me." He said, "Listen, I told you 25 years ago that I love you. If the situation changes, I'll let you know." So I'm hoping that's a joke, you know? I'm hoping that's not true. We need to listen to how we feel. If we feel exhausted, then you need to rest, because you're not going to get any better if you're absolutely exhausted. If we're grieving, it's unhealthy not to allow feelings of grief to surface and get them out of our system. Feelings are God-given. God created them to bless us. They're meant to be good. They're meant to be healthy. It's not healthy to lock feelings away. We do need to deal with them, or we're just putting a sticking plaster over an open wound. And everyone knows that's not going to heal. Joyce Meyer has a great saying. She says this, "Things buried alive never die." So if we're trying to stuff those negative feelings all the way down into the bottom of the Mary Poppins bag, you know, it will still be there. And after a while, they begin to smell, you know, and there's a stink there because we're stuffing things down that we need to deal with. So it's a decision, a personal decision between you and me and God as to whether something needs to be left on the back burner or dealt with. And sometimes there's a time to leave things and walk away and see how it all pans out. And other times we think, that's been a year, I need to deal with that, you know, or however long it's been. But feelings are unreliable. That's the problem with them. They change like the weather, especially the weather in Scotland, you know, where one day we're breaking out our bikinis, but on Monday it says get your vest out again and your thermals because it's going to be freezing cold. Here's another quote. The problem with feelings is that they change constantly. We can feel 1,000 ways about the same thing in 30 days. One minute we may feel like doing something and the next minute we do not. Okay, so if we feel good, life is good. Like, oh, I'm having a great day, I feel great. If we feel bad, our life can spiral downhill rapidly. You know, Neil and I have a friend and he talks about his marriage with his wife. And he says, the problem with, you know, the difference between men and women is, he said, I can earn brownie points as the day goes on. So he said, if I put my dirty washing in the wash basket, I get brownie points. If I wash the dishes, I get some brownie points. He said, by tea time, I might have 10 brownie points. He said, but if you do one thing wrong, you do not lose one brownie point. You lose the lot. They all go south, and you've got to start all over again. There's a few of the men nodding there, understanding that one. Okay, so all the brownie points are gone in a winner. Living in our feelings is a bit like that. It is unstable. One minute, it's good, breakfast was good, lunch was good, and then we get a text. And any good thing in the day is lost because it all just goes down the drain and you think, oh, my life's just useless and worthless because of one text, you know, or one piece of bad news. Everything goes south. Their feelings are completely unstable. It's a bit like living in a volcano sometimes, just waiting on an eruption at some point. James 1 and verse 6 to 8 says this. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So when we keep doubting things, it's like being tossed about by the wind. Living in our feelings can have a similar effect because we're doubting God. We're doubting that he loves us. We're doubting that he'll take care of the situation. We're up and down like a yo-yo, emotionally all over the place. We believe one thing on a Monday, but something different on a Tuesday. We get prayer at church on Sunday and we think, that's it, I've been prayed for, this leg's getting healed. And if it's ouch, ouch, by Monday, we're like, oh, that prayer didn't work. Instead of pressing in. We feel worthy one minute and not good enough the next. You know, we can get up at the start of the week, I'm good, I'm worthy, I'm right before God. And by Friday, we don't want to come to church because we feel useless and we feel not good enough. We can get out of bed feeling accepted, but then rejection creeps in before we had our cup of tea in the morning. Being tossed about emotionally makes us double-minded and unstable. We are not believing what God says about us. We're not believing that we're his child. We're not believing that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. We're not believing that we're forgiven. We're not believing that we're worthy and able to come into his presence. It's very hard to receive anything from God when we're that insecure. You know, God can't reassure us of his love if we're not believing his love. He can't reassure us that he's forgiven us and we're accepted if all we do is doubt what he says in his word. Because it's all there in his word. For God so loved the whole world. And unless there's a wee Martian in the room this morning, unless you just popped down this morning from a different planet, you're of this world. And so God loves you. And it's so difficult to believe that when things are going wrong and our emotions are going up and down. He loves me, he loves me not. It's not a good foundation for a relationship with God. It's not a good foundation for our lives. We need to believe God and not our feelings. Just believe God. The same scripture in the Amplified, verse 8 says this, a man of two minds is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Look at those last three words. He's unstable in all he thinks, feels, and decides. That's his mind, his emotions, and his will. That's his soul. That's our soul right there. So we're unstable in our soul if we swing between two opinions. He loves me, he loves me not. I'm good enough for God. No, I'm not. We become unstable in our soul, and that's serious. It's not just, oh, I had a bad day. You know what? We can all have a bad day, but if you have a bad day and by even by tea time you recognize it, break it off. Next time you'll recognize it by lunchtime, break it off. Next time you'll recognize it by morning tea, break it off. Next time, hopefully, you'll recognize it before you finish the cornflakes and just go, I'm not having this. I'm feeling rubbish, but I'm not going to live in my feelings. I'm going to believe the word of God and start speaking the word of God. You know, start speaking out how much he loves you. Start speaking out. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Maybe I did do something wrong last week, but God's not condemning me. The enemy is, and I'm condemning myself. So when you stand in the word of God and believe what it says, making a decision to believe God is the best decision we will ever make. Of course, salvation is the best decision we'll ever make. But on a daily basis, deciding to believe God loves us and God's with us and he's forgiven whatever we've done wrong is the best decision we'll ever make. So turn to someone today and say, I'm choosing to believe God. Choosing to believe God today. Here is another quote today. Do you believe the God of our feelings or the God of the Bible? Who are we going to believe? Because it's choice time. You've only got those two choices. Are those the only two choices, Sandra? Yes. Those are the only two choices. You've got to go 50-50 on this one. You either believe the God of our feelings, small g, or the God of the Bible that says we're so much more than our feelings. We must recognize if something's from God or if it's a lie from the enemy. Or it's just something that someone from our past has thrown at us and pulled the rug out from under our feet. It's not of God. If God wouldn't say it's about us, then it's not true. Recognize when something's a fact or when it's only an emotion. You know, sometimes emotions are not fact. The majority of the times, they're not fact. Our emotions can feel like facts, but it's not always true because emotions can lie to us. So here's an example. Jimmy takes Chris out to a lovely restaurant. Just a few hints here, Jimmy. Takes her to a lovely restaurant in George Street. Her eyes are lighting up. And it's beautiful. And he orders a nice glass of champagne because they're celebrating just how gorgeous Chris is. Not what you fancy, like a keg. Red wine. Oh, sorry. A wee glass of red wine for Chris. That's our tip. Oh, remember that. He orders a lovely meal. And then it goes, my wallet, I've lost my wallet, I've lost it or it's been stolen. His heart rate's up here, it's pounding away, and his emotions, and Chris is like, yeah, stupid idiot, imagine forgetting your wallet. So the two of them, the emotions are their adrenaline's just flowing, then all of a sudden he goes, it's in the other pocket. So the wallet was there all along, but it was in the other pocket, you know? So Jimmy's emotions have just lied to him, but the response is so real. And the adrenaline's flowing and everything is real, but it's just a lie. The emotions can lie to us. Just imagine we're sitting here right now, or let's make it a bit more complicated. Let's imagine we're in a really nice hotel because Jimmy's feeling flush. He's taking us all to a really nice hotel. But we're on the 10th floor because it's one of those restaurants with a view, you know. So we've got the view over the harbour and it's beautiful and the fire alarm goes off. And if someone goes, this is not a drill, grab your belongings, make sure you grab the wife while you're at it, okay? So you grab your handbag and you grab your man bag and we're all running for the exit and someone's shouting, take the lift, and someone's shouting, don't take the lift, and we're charging down the stairs to get down those 10 floors. And we get to the bottom and the concierge says, oh, I'm sorry, it was a false alarm. Okay, so it's a false alarm, but our hearts are pounding and we're making sure we've grabbed the kids and the bag and everything and we've not forgotten anything. But our emotions can lie to us. Neil and I were in St. Andrews recently, and we went to a nice hotel just for a tea and a coffee. So my friend said to me, Sandra, you've got champagne tastes at lemonade prices. I went, that's me. I want to sit in the fancy hotel, but just pay a fiver for it, you know? So we're sitting there, he's got his latte, I've got my cup of tea, and we took our Scrabble with us. We know how to live it up. So we've got the board of Scrabble, having a wee game of Scrabble, we're doing away. And then the concierge comes over, and he said, would you like a free drink? He said, because there's a man in the bar, very, very, very rich tourist, to be staying in that hotel anyway, so a very rich tourist. He said, and today in town, he thought he'd lost his wallet or it had been stolen. So this man's emotions plummeted because he thought he'd lost or had his wallet stolen. Now, I don't know what was in that wallet, but I think it was a platinum American Express card at least, you know. And I think there might have been money, and there was all these cards and everything in the wallet. And then all of a sudden, the hotel got a phone call to say a good Scottish person had found the wallet and handed it in. because his business card must have been in there. They phoned the man. They must have phoned him on his mobile, and they handed the wallet in. And this man was buying drinks for everybody in the bar. Now, I reckon because of the number of people there and the prices that they charge, this bar bill would have been between £300 and £400 just to buy everybody a drink. But this man was absolutely ecstatic. But he was always going to get his wallet back. It was never completely lost. It had been found. But his emotions didn't know that. He wasn't trusting God. His emotions were all over the place. So we had a very nice little second round of latte and tea in that nice hotel. A second game of Scrabble, why not? Eh? Throw that in. What if someone rejects us? Does that mean we're rejected? What if someone says we're not good enough? Does that mean we're not good enough? Are we going to live in those emotions? Or are we realizing that those emotions are lying to us? We need to choose what God says on it. And God says we're accepted and that we're loved. And we do that by believing how God feels about us and not the other person. So if we're accepted by God himself, what does it matter what they think? If we're loved by God, does it matter if someone doesn't love us anymore? Because God does. Romans 8, 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Folks, God is on your side. God is on our side. He's a person we can run back to every time. Remember when you were rejected in the playground? Anybody been the last one against the wall, not picked for the team? Yeah, been there. And I was quite athletic, but they were just being mean to me, you know? Last one against the wall, not picked for the team. But you know what? I'm picked by God. I'm picked by God. We're all picked, hand-picked. You've been hand-picked by God. He went to that apple tree and went, oh, this one looks absolutely a Bobby Dazzler, red and rosy. I'm picking that one. Hand-picked by God. Feelings are unreliable. They can mislead us. We need to be led by God and not our emotions. We can't trust emotions, but we can trust God. Feelings can constantly change, but we serve the God who is constant. God will never change his mind about you. He will never decide not to love you. The thief on the cross, I don't know what he'd done, but he'd stolen a few things. Stolen so many things, he was getting crucified for it. God never changed his mind about that man, not once. And as he hung there and he turned to the open arms of Jesus, and Jesus said, you're welcome to run into these arms. He had never been forgotten by God. He just needed to decide what his emotions were on it. And how he felt about God. The question today isn't how does God feel about us, it's how do we feel about God? That's the question. Are we going to believe him or not? So here's a revelation. Living in our feelings is a luxury we can't afford. You can't afford it. Because if we live in our feelings, the enemy will have the power to pull us down Monday to Friday, every day of the week, left, right, and center. If we live in our emotions. It's a dangerous place to live. We need to live in the truth of God. We need to stop asking ourselves how we feel and start asking, how does God feel? How does God feel about me? Not how do I feel about me. You know, how do I feel about me when I look in the mirror? I'd rather take the glasses off and have a nice wee hazy glow, you know? Not how we feel about ourselves, but how does God feel about me? You know, the older I get, I want to be more and more beautiful to God. More and more beautiful. I knew a lady who was about 92, 93, old Marion, when she died. She was the most beautiful lady that I ever sat and had a cup of tea with. She just got more and more beautiful. It was like having tea with an angel. She just glowed. She had a wee ready breath glow all the way around her. You know, it was beautiful to be with her. I just want to be more and more beautiful the older I get and the closer I get to God. And believing what he says about me. I wonder how God feels about us not believing that he loves us. I wonder how God feels about us when we don't believe we're worthy. I wonder how God feels about us when we don't believe we're accepted. I wonder how he feels about the emotions that we've put on the throne of our lives. Because that's what you're doing. You're taking those negative emotions, myself included, rejection, whatever it is that I'm struggling with, taking it and putting it on the throne. And going, you've got first place in my mind. You've got first place in my heart. You've got first place in my soul. I wonder how God feels about that. And I should be giving him first place and how he sees me. Yet our feelings are so important. We talk about them all the time. We'll bump into someone at shops and say, oh, hi, Anne, how are you feeling? Hi, Viv, how are you feeling? We say, how are you feeling? So we ask each other, oh, I'm feeling great, I'm good, I'm fine. We ask each other all the time, how are you feeling? We talk about them all the time, but feelings are only the starting point, because pretty soon our feelings turn into words. And sooner or later, the emotions in our heart come out our mouth. And it's a challenge to keep quiet about how we feel, because every one of us is tempted to go on a rant every so often about that. What's in us eventually comes out. So are we listening to what's coming out? Because whatever's coming out our mouth is what we're putting on the throne of our lives. It's what we're worshipping. It's what we're focused on, instead of putting God there. What are we saying about our life? What are we saying about ourself? That's really important. What are you saying about yourself? You know, you're not good enough. I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. Now, fair enough, I will not be playing guitar for you next weekend. You can all thank God for that. So I know what my limitations are. I know what I'm called to do. But that doesn't mean I need to think that I'm less of a person because I can't get up there and lead the worship. We need to be very careful what we say about ourselves. Is it what God would say? Is it positive or negative? If we can't be positive about ourselves, how do we expect other people to be? Now, here's the revelation. If you don't go home with anything else, this is the Bobby Dazzler. Go home with this one, okay? Speaking negatively about yourself is loading the gun for the enemy to fire. It's stupidity. No one sits in the trenches and loads the guns and hands it over to the opposite army and says, fire that one at me, why don't you? But that's what we do all the time if we're speaking negatively about ourselves or even our life or even our spouse. Just throw that one out there. Let's be grateful for what we've got. And that, quite frankly, it is stupidity. So here's a wee question. Said anything stupid lately? Need to watch what we're saying. Let's look at Luke 6, verse 45. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. What's another word for our heart? Our soul. Everything we feel. Everything we think on the inside, the Bible sometimes calls it our heart. Negative emotions and negative thoughts in our soul will lead to a negative life. Changing our soul starts by changing what comes out our mouth. Words will affect our soul more than we will ever know. Now, I know you all know this next scripture, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. We have to eat the fruit that our words produce. We have to think about the fruit our words are producing. Are our words angry? Are they frustrated? Are they unkind? Are they bringing death or life to us? If we don't learn to control our words and our feelings and our thoughts, they will control us. So here's another revelation. Our soul, all those thoughts and feelings, our soul is like a rudder that controls our life. So we need to make sure we're in control of our soul. That means our soul will control us for death or life, and the choice is ours. We must make sure we're in control of our emotions and not the other way around. How? Again, it's by the word of God. We must know what God says. John 8:32 says this, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But do we know the truth? And are we speaking it over our lives, or are we believing the lies put in our soul by the enemy, by someone else? Just because we don't feel like doing something doesn't mean we can't get off the couch and go and do it. We always try to teach our children to fulfill the commitments they make. If they commit to something on Monday and by time Friday night comes, they can't be bothered going to that youth group or whatever. They are in the car and they are going because you fulfill your commitments. Yeah, I may not feel like praising God, but I'm going to praise him anyway because he is worthy of it all. We sung that today. No matter how I feel, he's worthy to be praised, and that's all that counts. We may not feel like going to church, but I go to church anyway because it's good for my soul. You know, you need to, on the very day when you feel least like coming is the day when you most should be here. Here's another wee funny story. The man gets up in the morning and comes downstairs and he says to his mum, "I don't feel like going to church today. I don't like it." Mum says, "You have to go. People will be expecting you." He says, "No, I don't want to go, Mum. No one likes me. No one talks to me. I really don't feel like going." She says, "Son, you have to go. You're the pastor." Okay, so we can all feel a wee bit like that some days. Living in our feelings allows the enemy to rob us of God's best for our lives. Negativity in our soul will steal our day, our year, our decade, and eventually our life. So it's a question for us all to think about. How many years have we allowed to be stolen from us? How many years have been stolen? Because we might not be able to get back that year, but we can get back a better life now than we ever had or ever would have had. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. That's the nature of the enemy. That is what is in his soul, to steal from us. If we allow him, the enemy will rob us of God's best. If he's robbed us of the past, you can bet your bottom dollar he will try to rob us of our present and our future. But God can give us a better future. He can restore the years the locusts have stolen from us. And if he has had your past, don't give him your future. Don't give him today. If we want God's plan for our lives, we cannot afford to live in our emotions, in the rawness of how we feel. We just can't afford to live there. Every so often we might visit it just to ask God to heal it and deal with it, but we can't live in it. We can't live in that. Whatever we focus on is what will dominate us. If we focus on our feelings, we will be dominated by our feelings. If we focus on our thoughts, we will be dominated by them. It's not rocket science. It's common sense. So what is dominating us? Is it the word of God? Is it how God feels about us? Or is it how someone felt about us 10 years ago when they were unkind and cruel? Focus on who we are in the spirit, not the mistakes we make in our soul. When our soul, all those thoughts and emotions, when our soul lines up with the truth in our spirit, we will have the victory. Thank you so much for listening.